we're getting so much support from our Caucasian brothers and sisters right now. It's unbelievable. But where the support, and I'm not talking about the body of Christ here in Divine Truth, but when it comes to the support of others that look like me, it has gone deafeningly, or the silence is deafening. It's something that has been bothering me for like the last week and a half or so. Sometimes people feel some kind of way when they're not on program. It's not that you could not be on program, it's just that when the program started, there was no contact. But that's what leaders do. Leaders have to continue to move forward. The part that I want everybody to make sure that you are very wise about is making sure that whatever momentum that comes and has been going on, because there's been momentum. It may not be reflected in the seats because, you know, we got a pandemic. But the influence is there. The influence is there to go from a storefront to now walking with county commissioners, people who are seeking to be elected to be the next mayor of a specific city, as well as the chief of police and pastors and leaders from all of the major churches in this particular city to march for a cause. That is a bit of a whirlwind, but a necessary one. So my brothers and my sisters that are out there, if you're just watching from the wings just to wait until something pops off or until something happens, I'm trying to see something. I'm trying to see if you will stand with me. If you do, fine. If you don't, fine. Because God is faithful. And it may just be the moment where God said you might just have too many. So whoever runs with you, that be it. And then I'll take care of the rest. So now that I've gotten that out of the way to the message, there are many things in this life that can throw one for a loop. Unexpected things, unknown things, uncertain things. If you've been blessed to see the sunrise for any length of time, or just to say good morning once again, you will know that things can and will happen. Life happens. Stuff happens. Suffering, trouble, tests, trials, anguish, pain. They all meet us at our door, regardless of the amount of money that you have, the best of preparation, whether you go to the finest of schools, whether you're the poorest of the poor, richest of the rich, regardless of your acquisition of knowledge or the help of family, friends, and other forms of support. There are times when the game of life turns into what ifs. What if they don't love me? What if I don't get any support? What if people who say Black Lives Matter deep down still really believe that all lives matter? What if people that don't look like me help a lot while the people that do look like me do not? What if? What if I died today or tomorrow? See, when you play the game of what ifs, you have a tendency to be still and not move forward. But the truth of the matter is that we should not try to play around with God and see if he's going to do this or that. Because sometimes God drafts us in the first round when it comes to purpose. And the flight and fight of faith is upon us before our stance on the word of God is set in place. Let me explain. Sometimes God asks you to do things before you really understand what's going on. I cannot tell you, Brother Cortland, Sister Carr, I cannot tell you how many times I ask God, why are you doing this? Why me? Why have you thrust me into the spotlight like this? For what? I have no idea. So it is a bit of a turn for me, because I'd rather stay behind the scenes. But that's exactly what God wants. He'd rather that he bring you to the front versus you try to go to the front yourself. For the word says the last will be first and the first will be last. And so I really would rather be last. However, albeit and notwithstanding all of these things that are going on, the trials and tests and tribulations that many of us, even in this room right now at this very hour, I heard Joseph said from the echo chamber of the ancient world all the way to till today, it's all working for my good. All things work together for my good. It's working. It's working. I still remember when Sister Amanda, before Leilani, before Leilani, when her and Sister Alicia Winsley, and that's BJ, before Josiah, and Johnny was still in the stroller, they danced together. I think it was the year 2014. They don't even understand how I still remember and how that dance touched my heart. It was a defining moment, because little did I know, at the very end of that year, we would be kicked out of our place, out of our storefront, and God would now put us in a building that was larger than the number of people that we have, a place that we could not afford, but that was 5 years ago. And we're still here. Still here. Still around. Let's go even deeper. When one is going through tests and trials, however intense or long they may be, to see things from God's perspective, it's necessary. Truthfully, while that may seem intensive at first, it is sound wisdom, especially when the enemy tries to convolute or distort the grooming process into the image and likeness of God. He does so through suffering. Suffering? Every minister, every elder, every person of leadership, whether they are on the instruments or talking to people, presiding to people, whether you're marching or part of the corps, I always say this one qualifier, with all of the talents and skills and abilities that you have and your relationship with God that is always going to be developing, I always say these words. I say, come suffer with me. Because there are going to be things that's going to happen to you if you connect with me. It will happen. There will be things that will come to the surface. Secrets will be revealed. Demons will start trembling because I believe in the power of God's word. And I do not like hypocrisy. I can't stand it. I do not want to be a scribe, a Pharisee, or a hypocrite with long flowing robes, with collars all the way up to the ear, with a Bible wrapped up in leather with a Louis Vuitton logo on it, just to try to make people think that I'm somebody important. I don't need an entourage. My entourage is my son, Jaden and Andre, and Lady Martin. That's my entourage. That's who I got. I got deacons and elders. And don't worry, we small, but we about it, though. Don't get it twisted. And y'all sure enough know that I am. Suffering is a part of the package. To suffer, to expose yourself and let God throw you like a big giant ball of clay right onto the ground, knead you and impress you and push you and start moving you into different places and then forming you into his image and into his likeness. And I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me even this morning, and he's talking to me right now. And when you get that vase and it goes through the fire, it actually gets put on the shelf alone, so that others can just watch. Two types of watchers. Watchers to see it collect dust, or three types. Watch to see if it collects dust and does nothing. To watch to see if it's going to fall and crack and break. Or to watch to see if it's going to be used as a true vessel. That's always the state of people. Some people just watch, and what they're going to do next. But keep on watching. And that's the same thing that you need to say. I don't want to go down that whole route about sticking it to your haters or saying it to your haters, because some of us don't even have that many friends to have haters. I'm raising my hand. I've been solo dolo since 2000. Once I got married, I just have a couple of friends and church members. Y'all are my family more so than those that grew up in the neighborhood with me, and even some of those that are related to me. That's just the truth of the matter. Suffering. But preacher, I thought the message stated that you had an idea that you should go from pain to purpose and that everything was going to be all right. Well, that's correct. You just have to believe that not only when times are in a moment of peace and calm, but also when God allows suffering to enter your life for your good. He does so for your good to give him glory. I believe God is going to get some glory out of what's going on today. I believe that our name, our church, as well as many other churches, are now going to be in the ears of both friend and foe alike. The deafening silence sometimes may be out of fear, but also time is because of envy. But I remember what Kenneth Olmer said so many years ago. He said, preaching and leading is like standing on a stage full of lights with empty seats with a handful of tickets that no one wants to buy. That's what leadership really is all about. But you have to continue to preach as if the entire house is full. So at first, one would think the definition of the word suffering solely means to afflict, to persecute, or agitate. You see, there's a lot of agitators. I was looking on the news today, something on Twitter, where this particular gentleman that had a nice little hoodie on, a Caucasian gentleman, painted himself completely black and went out there to agitate, to try to stir up an otherwise peaceful demonstration, to try to get some things set up, but then the police officers swiftly whisked him away. Sometimes that's what you have to allow for God to do. Sometimes the enemy will come in to try to make your heart completely black, give you complete blindness, deafen your ears because he is knocking at your door. But pray to God, cry out to God so that the angels will whisk that trouble away. And if the trouble doesn't go away, you might as well deal with it. Go through it, get stronger. To fully grasp this biblical concept, you need to know that suffering has its purpose. There is good news for weary people. I'd like to hear it, here it go. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14, the New King James Version. It says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You know, we used to say that in the neighborhood. We didn't even know we were even in the text, y'all. Boy, he's trying you right now. Man, they're really trying you right now. They're trying to punk you. Is this punk? Where's Ashton Kutcher at? No. This is talking about something different. Do not think it strange when stuff starts knocking at your door. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, to turn up the heat. The heat is on to refine you, to make you better, as though some strange thing happened to you. I just can't believe that because I became a Christian, because I hooked up with a ministry that's really about the walking and the walk and talking the talk, I didn't think that anything was going to happen. I thought I was going to be blessed and highly favored. Fire baptized, burning fire. Everything was going to be all right. New car, new house, new land, new woman, new boo. Until you find out that when you follow God, you might lose the house, the land, the new boo, because it's the wrong boo. Because God is actually trying to show you something. He's trying you. So don't think it's strange. Verse 13 says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, there it is, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, aggravated, hated on for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. I don't want that God. I don't believe in God. If God was so good, then why in the world did he allow for George Floyd to die? If he is so good. But I know God is good. He never promised that this world would allow for a Christian to go unscathed or untouched. So on his part, he's blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. When they talk about blaspheming Christ, we're not talking about saying God and then some type of four-letter expletive. No. Blaspheme means rejection. That's what it means in the biblical context. This lets us know that every sin on the planet can be forgiven as long as you accept Jesus Christ. That includes the rough things like suicide. That includes the rough things like such as rape and murder. It includes the rough things such as racism, which at its root is pride. That's what it is. It's pride, the refusal to see that and admit that you are wrong. But after you repent, there's no need to lament. You can't continually and eternally punish people unless they blaspheme the Lord and they reject him forever. If they reject him forever, then he will be separated from them forever. So don't think it's strange when stuff starts coming against you. This happens if you're trying to birth a business. It happens if you're trying to birth a child. It's like a near-death experience for a woman to have childbirth in order to bring that woman into the world. But fellas, I can't leave you out either. Because once that child is into the world, you're sacrificing for the rest of your life and dying to yourself for the rest of your life. You're putting yourself last for the rest of your life in order to take care of people that you have brought into this world. This is the same for birthing a movement, even with competing voices trying to take it to left field or to right field. It's the same for birthing a purpose. What are you supposed to do in your life? If you stay in a perpetual state of I don't know where I'm going right now, then where you are, ain't it? And if you're not hearing the right thing, be still until God makes it clear. Be still and know. Don't know what to do, be still. If you know what to do, it's going to be scary. There's nothing wrong with being scared. That doesn't mean that you lack faith. Being scared is detrimental if you are paused and if you're frozen. That's why I like the word courageous, because courage means that you are scared, but you're still moving forward anyway. This afternoon, y'all, I admit that this thing is punking me a little bit. It's got me kind of wincing a little bit because I don't know what to expect. Even the chief called me two times. The police called me two times. And they were saying, have you heard anything in the streets? Because he's trying to mitigate some things to make sure the bad actors don't try to come in and turn this into something crazy. If something that's happening. He's aware of what was going on in Apopka just on yesterday and that particular walk and march. And now it's come to meet Altamont Springs and Castleberry. Who would have ever thought? So birthing a purpose is not easy. Another deeper truth to this is that suffering causes the flesh to cease from sinning. Have you ever gone through so much until you'd be like, man, I don't even feel like going out tonight. Man, I don't even feel like drinking. Man, I don't even feel like picking up the phone and talking to her no more. Man, I feel like just going home and laying in my own bed because I don't even need to be in that person's bed that's not my spouse in the first place. I'm just going through so much, I'll just see you another time. So suffering causes the flesh to cease from sinning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says, but may the God of all grace, who called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, in other words, it's temporary, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So our suffering helps us. It helps us put things into perspective. It's God's way of basically saying that you need to get rid of this thing before it gets rid of you. And if you don't die, if you're not careful, then you're going to get rid of me. In other words, you're going to sever the relationship that I do not want to break. Remember, God is not the one that takes off his ring finger. We take off ours when we're tricking in the spirit. So, as we move forward, we also need to understand that our suffering helps us comfort others who are suffering. This is the crux of the message. This is what is going on right now. You may have even seen the graphic on your screen of what was going on and the voices and the pain. But then it goes from tears. I don't see a tear anywhere on the screen. I see purpose. I see voices uplifted. This is what jumped out to me. And I see a little boy. That could be any of our sons with a megaphone in his hand, speaking truth to power. Either that or he's saying lemonade really loud. Lemonade! In my non-Beyonce voice. No, not that being lemonade. So suffering helps us to relate to those who are suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 through 5 in the New Living says, all praises to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us, watch this, with his comfort through Christ. This is the reason why I will not push away a Caucasian brother or sister from connecting with me. Because many of them are suffering right now. And I'm talking about the ones that want to do right because they're hearing several different voices. Some of them are hearing, be quiet, don't talk to me because you can't even relate. Another group of them are saying that you need to not even ask me any questions. You need to go ahead and you need to do your own research. Another group of them are being told, well, you know, you need to just totally just change your lifestyle, marry somebody totally different so that you can understand. So many of them are hearing many different things, and we have to make sure that the message applies to the specific scenario. It can't be one message for everybody, because not everybody thinks the same way. Suffering. I felt what was going on with George Floyd, but I also know that there's a lot of things that's going on outside of George and what he has actually gone through. We have to make sure that our suffering is put into context. And let me help you with this. This will ruffle some feathers. Sometimes we have to be careful of getting ourselves into situations that bring suffering. Have you noticed the trend? We got to make sure that we don't put ourselves into certain precarious situations. Man, that's tight. As a mosquito's tweeter. That's tight, boy. That tight. That hurt, man. What do you mean? Can't we just focus on the future? No, the past is relevant. The past is relevant to people who are not saved. That's all they have to go on. Just think about it. Many of us talk about America's history, right, and won't let it go. We won't let it go. It's a perpetual thing. And so as a result of that, we're going around making sure that all those Confederate monuments are being taken down because it reminds us of America's quote-unquote ugly past. But we also have, as individuals, ugly past. Welcome to Divine Truth. Christian Center with God wants your dreams and visions realized. So the past is a predictor of the future unless you repent. That's when you get a reboot button. That's when mercy comes into place. And that's for black and white, because pride, as a form of racism coming out, is not the only thing that people struggle with. That is just the topic of the day. This is not to minimize it, but this is allow for us to make focus. Let us focus on what God has said so that we can move forward. Because there's many young people across this nation right now that are marching, that are moving forward, that are asking the question, what's next after the people don't come any longer? What's next? Finding a Facebook photo of somebody who said something flippant, okay, that's action, but then what's next? How can we get to the point to where the person doesn't even want to put something flippant on Facebook in the first place? That's what I want. We know how to persecute somebody. We know how to dox people. D-O-X-X, that means that we take a little program like Amazon Recognition, we put up their photograph, and then we identify all of their facial features around the internet, and then we find them, get their name and their address, telephone number, and get them fired. But then how do we prevent that from happening in the first place? I just let out a whole bunch of things. I'm just letting you know. Didn't I tell y'all that pastors are not politicians? Didn't I tell you all, at least if you do happen to look at my Facebook page, for some noble things, every now and then I put little crazy stuff, such as somebody sliding in the DMs to show me a picture of a fried fish and greens. Dry. Somebody said they were dry. Lady Martin said, because I always show Lady Martin my inbox all the time. I was like, look at this. Is that the new Macca thing now? She's like, yeah, she's trying to show you that you could cook. She could cook. I was like, no, I got Chef Boyardee right next to me. No, can't y'all see this? I'm good. So, yeah, stuff like that's on my page. But, you know, the other stuff that's on my page is also relevant. And that means that preachers, when they walk into the room, they should not take sides. My side is not an elephant. It's not a donkey, for sure enough. It's a lamb. That's my symbol. That's my party, the lamb. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10 lets us know that while suffering is necessary so that we can relate to people, to tell people, to help people, our suffering will end in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. I'm trying to be relevant here. Don't these words kind of sound like what's going on in the nation and the world today? We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You know what this means? Sometimes God allows for you to go through so much until you become numb, until you become dead to your will and emotions, until you can't even feel it anymore. I've gone through so much until it's explosions going on outside. I'm like, when are we going to go to Jeremiah's ice cream? In other words, these things don't move me. So sometimes suffering is necessary in order to thicken your skin. You can't just be a bleeding heart for the rest of your life. Oh, my goodness, I just can't believe that people don't like me. They just don't like me. I just don't understand. I do everything I can for them, and they just don't do nothing for me. I just don't understand. Leave them alone. They don't like you. They made it clear. Leave them alone. That's an insecure thing that you got to deal with. You got to move on. But God's like, if you need to suffer through this class and repeat it 5 times for 5 years in a row until you get it, then I'll let you repeat the class until your skin, until you get sick or tired of seeing the same teacher again. Anybody ever went to college, you get sick and tired of seeing? Okay, y'all didn't fail. I did. I failed chemistry my very first semester. I had a 1.37 GPA because I partied like it was 1999. Yes, I did. I was in 1993. I went to college. It was wine, women, and neck bones. My first time partying all the way to 6 a.m. on a consistent basis. And little did I know that 8 o'clock classes were of the devil. Could not get up. Was not an early bird. Try to use some charm with one of the black female teachers at that moment in time. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. And she politely gave me an F. And she said, Mr. Martin, I want you to know that this is an upstanding institution, sir. You are at Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University, the highest from Seven Hills, and I am not going to let you slide through this class. With the expletive at right after that. So I will see you next year. And I was right in that class again. Had khakis on instead of jeans this time around. Tightened myself up. And in my brain, I was like, I do not want to go through this again. And I didn't. I did not want to see that same teacher again. So this is where learning lessons comes into play. I had to suffer through that because I inflicted it upon myself. But there's good news. As I was going through that, I ended up becoming a better student. So I went from 1.37 that first semester and going to the honor roll the next semester. Because I said to myself, I never wanted to go through that again. And there's many people in this nation that do not want to have to go through these things again. Many people do, but it will continue to happen because some people like to repeat the class. That's the nature of humans. That's sin. So for you, if you're suffering right now and you're going through a lot of things right now, pandemic on one side, people acting crazy with racists, you watching Ryan Davis videos along with Candace Owens videos, bringing outrage to your soul over and over and over again. You got this one friend that puts every single worst case scenario on your timeline and your emotions are all in a tizzy. I got some news for you. You can make it. Just keep going. Dry your eyes. Keep going. Hey, guess what? Folk left you. You know what? You got a new place, got a new car, got a new life, new wife, new boo. People are going to leave you. It's part of the equation. A rocket can't take off with everybody. There's things that fall off when you go to a different atmosphere. You got the word? Did you get that? The word is a word, whether it's 1,000 or 50-fold. When a rocket takes off and it goes into a different atmosphere, Sister Alicia said that a rocket doesn't always go straight up. It has to go to a specific trajectory. In other words, it has to stay focused on its path. Everybody else is wondering why it's not going this way. It's going to a different direction. Continue to go into that particular direction if that is your trajectory. People will leave you. Even as I quote unquote shared with you this morning, my surprise of that is part of the package. No need to talk about it any longer. We got to keep on going. Not enough money? Keep on going. We've been in a not enough money phase since 2010. This place. But yet here we are. Just the other day when my wife and I, as I come around the mountain and close here, just the other day, my wife and I went to this church to pick up some daycare materials and some toys to kind of fortify the place and build it up. We're making improvements. We put some grass turf on the outside to cover over the concrete. It looks really nice so the kids can sit down. And one of the babies said, I can sit down now on the ground without burning myself. It's so many words. And so we went to this place, and I thought there was just going to be a live and vibrant place. But then when I got to the church, there was gates all around the actual church, a huge church in Winter Park over there in Aloma, off of Aloma. And we went to that particular piece of property. We had to drive on the grass in order to get to the property. And we see people pulling pews from out of the building. And we talked to the gentleman there and said, we're liquidating the place. They sold the church. In my mind, I'm like, okay, where are the people at now? Well, some people went here. Some people went there. In other words, the shepherd was smitten and the sheep scattered. Went to the daycare portion, saw things and stuff all over the ground. We picked out a couple of things so that we could clean them for later on. But the thing that kept on reverberating in my mind was that this church has died. This is what the death of a church looks like. 10 acres worth of land on a corner, and it's dead. What kind of suffering have those people gone through? And they were around for like 50 years, and now the church is dead. And the man was almost in tears when he was saying, I had to liquidate the place because they're getting ready to raise this place like an apartment complex and put a car apartment complex there. And this is a predominantly white church. And it just kind of hit me because a predominantly black church went through that just a couple of years ago over there in Wynwood Park. The same church where Leandria Davis and her family was at. They tore down that church and put up an apartment complex. So this lets me know that people actually go through a lot of similar things if you have conversations with them. To suffer. But what about if you got pain in your body? Keep going. Do you got issues? There's a bunch of people in this place that got issues, and Lord knows I have my share. But you got to keep going. What happens if you can't see the end? I just keep on just going. Why do I keep on coming to church? It seems like there's no end to this stuff. It seems like I'm not getting better. Maybe God put that thing on the inside of you that you can't pray away on purpose. You may not be able to pray away this one, so maybe you need to be around a group of people that can help you deal with that thorn in your flesh. See, as a result of this, you will go from saying, why am I going through all of this stuff, to I had to go through it for his name's sake. Everything is working together for my good. It'll go and it will work together for your good, but you gotta keep on moving. So as I conclude, and I'm done, because you gotta prepare for what's to come later on today. Remember, people of God, pain has a purpose. Regulators, mount up. Millennials don't even know what I'm talking about. Warren G, oh yeah, okay, thank you. I just got to go ahead and give you the key terms so you can YouTube it and Google it, and so you can Google it for later on, all right? Get suited and booted, if you like that one, because God has a blessing with your name on it. He has a blessing when you get to the other side of through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're walking through the valley. You don't have to park there and get a tent and make a house there. You're going through. 2 Timothy, come on, stand to your feet and I'm done. Says this. It says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him or her as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned until he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. In other words, you will get a chance to taste what you have been laboring for so long. Consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Not only that, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may be able to obtain salvation, which is Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, if we suffer with him, we shall also live and reign with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we are faithless and are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. In my David Allen Greer voice, I got a feeling. Everything is gonna be all right. Whoa, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. And the Holy Ghost done told me everything's gonna be all right. Holy Ghost whisper. Told me, whispered, everything gonna be all right. The Holy Ghost don't told me, everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. All off tune. Everything is gonna be all right, all right, all right. So be anxious for nothing, people of God. We're getting ready to go through a transformation in our ministry. All of the entire city knows who we are as of today. But it's going to be a good thing. I can only imagine the very first or second or third march that Martin Luther King went through, what was going through his mind with all these people. It's just like you can't even quite put it together of what those men and women went through during that days and time with thousands upon thousands of people. And we may have hundreds of hundreds as of today. So as I close, once again, pray for us. Be with us if you can. Wear your mask. Let's lock up together. Put on your t-shirts and let's mount up, get suited and booted, and let's see what God is going to say this afternoon. Once again, I'm going to be here, and I'm not leaving for any last minute things, but the march is going to, and the prayer walk is going to start at Target, and then we're going to come over here to see what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are now not any longer hidden. That's wrong grammar, Lady Martin, ain't it? What is the proper way of saying it, Takara? We're no longer hidden. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. May they have courage for those that will be here this evening. May they understand the season and the moment that we're in. May we be able to move forward. And more so, Lord God, I just pray that things are safe, that there are no bad actors that will come in and try to hijack this thing, but that we're in a position as the body of Christ to minister to those who are hurting, that are in pain. Empower us, Lord God, to let them know that they do have a purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Our babies are watching us. Our teens are watching us. As they grow older, this will be a defining moment. Let us do them right. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, people of God.